During today's sermon, Pastor Jerry Seawright informs parents and youth about the consequences of not understanding three institutions that God created: family, church, and government. Let's listen to his sermon, taken from Ephesians, the sixth chapter, called Salvation of Your Children is Your Christian Parent Goal.
Lord, we come before you now just requesting that you continue to be in the midst of your people. Father, that we ask that you show yourself strong. Lord, we ask that your spirit take control of your servant, Father, that he may speak the words that you want him to speak. Lord, let them not hear my words, but yours, Father, because your words have life. And Father, we just ask you for this subject, Lord, to be with it, Father. Lord, allow it to just educate and inform, Father, and let it possibly just, Lord, even transform hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right. If you have Bibles, tablets, I'm going to ask that you turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And it's going to be verse 4. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4. And of course, Ephesians is not John, so that means that something is going on. Because we've been studying John for months now. And the reason why it's Ephesians today is because the Lord has just put it on my heart to talk to this group that is going from middle school to high school. And I want to basically, honestly, talk to them today because I have them as a captive audience right now. I knew they were going to show up today. And it was guaranteed that they would come. And this is a subject that I think that will do them some good before they enter high school. But it will also educate the parents. So yesterday I was during a break in that training, I had a quick, very quick exchange with Sister Marnie, and I'm going to just use her advice. She said, don't assume that they know, but break it down to them so that they will understand. So my intent today is not to address the parents as if they know nothing. It's not my intent. My intent is to remind parents of their Christian parenting goal. Of their Christian parenting goal. Amen? And also to leave you with a little insight as to how the juvenile court system works. Okay? My intent towards the children today is not to tell you that you're bad, not to just wag my finger at you or anything like that. And it's not to scare you either. My intent is not to scare you. My intent today is basically to tell you that if you come my way on my job, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't. And I'm telling you in love right now that you don't want to do it. Now, you see Elder Seawright, Pastor Seawright, or however you refer to me weekly as this cool, calm, and collected fella, and suave. But when I'm on my job, I'm not your friend. The last thing I am is your friend, okay? I have to put on a different hat in order to stay employed, I'm not your friend. And you don't want to come my way. So you want to avoid this thing called the juvenile justice system. And I'm going to explain to you as best I can and as quickly as I can what it's all about. But I want to launch out on this. First and foremost, let it be clear that children are a gift from God. Okay? And we want to read Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. They are a gift. It says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Children are a blessing. They are a gift, even though sometimes it doesn't seem that way. Even though sometimes it doesn't feel that way. They are a gift. And in his wisdom, God has established three institutions: the family, the church, and government. The family, the church, and government. All three, they have their built-in government authority or leadership system. The father, the mother, elders, deacons, mayor, police. They have their built-in leadership hierarchy, if you will. Y'all still follow me, right? And leadership comes with responsibility. Leadership comes with responsibility. And that's why the text says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And then if you read Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20 through 21, you'll see that it echoes and supports the same. It says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." So we see that leadership has a responsibility, but also following comes with responsibility as well. Because scripture once again states, "Obey your parents." Obey your parents. Submit to authority. Parents, we have a God-given duty to raise our children as God commanded us. As God commanded us. I was listening to John MacArthur this week in his series on the fulfilled family. And he said, you can do 10 things to do the exact opposite of what God wants you to do with your children. And those 10 things, I just said, man, these are so good, I got to list them. I got to put them down. This is how you can go totally against Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 4th verse, and Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 through 21. Just do these things. Do these 10 things with your kids, and you'll do the exact opposite of what God wants you to do. First, overprotect them. Overprotect them. Fence them in. Never trust them. Second, show favoritism. Show favoritism. Favorite one over the other. Third, set unrealistic achievement goals. Goals that they can't really reach. Goals that if you understood their ability, if you understood their ability, God-given ability, you would understand that the goal needs to be here rather than here. Fourth, overindulge them. Let them sin and get away with it. Five, discourage them. Lack of understanding and lack of reward destroys motivation, he said. Six, never sacrifice for them. Never sacrifice for them. Make it known that you got to do you. Seven, fail to allow them to grow up. Fail to allow them to grow up. Let them, in other words, let them goof off sometime. Let them be kids. Let them be kids. I didn't say let them sin and get away with it, but kids will be kids. Amen? In other words, he said, expect progress, not perfection. Expect progress, not perfection. Eight, neglect them. If you want to not do what God tells you to do, neglect them. Nine, verbally abuse them. And I found this fascinating because he said, you can verbally abuse them. Because, see, you have been around long enough to where your vocabulary is like this. And then all of a sudden when you spar with them with vocabulary and theirs is like this, and then you're running rings around them using words and putting your argument together and everything else to the point where they feel like they can't hang with you verbally. And then 10. Physically abuse them. See, those were 10 powerful points that I said, wow, to each one. And I'm not doing it justice because he had some more comments to say behind every point. But he supported his points, and they were very powerful to say, if you do these 10 things, then you will definitely do the exact opposite of what God wants you to do with your children. Amen? And because we are different, we as in Christians, because we are unique, because we are separate from the world, we do not do parenting like the world. We don't do parenting like the world. We don't. We have God's Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God. Those who are not regenerated, they don't have what we have. We don't do parenting like the world or as the world does parenting. We don't conduct relationships like those that don't know God. We don't go about our relationships with manipulation and things of that nature. We come more real than that because we operate by the law of love. By the law of love. We are different. We are different. We are different. The world and Christians, they operate on two different systems. Two different systems. The world, for example, they tell you about being competitive and competition. There's competitiveness in just about every arena. Higher grades, right? They tell you be individualist rather. Stand on your own two feet, right? You know, it's no, you know, I need you to survive type of thing. It's like, I don't need anybody else. I can stand on my own, right? And we got, like I said, competitiveness in every area. Who gets the higher in the best grades? And who's on the best team? And who has the best car? Who has the best house? Who has the best children? See, the best. And the goal is kind of deep because see, the goal, if you're not focusing right, you got a successful kid if he's got like a Mercedes or a Bentley and about 12 degrees and money in the bank and clothes and all of this. That's success. That's success if you get off focus. But the true goal of a Christian parent is salvation. It's salvation. Now, we know that salvation is all of God and it's in God's hand. But you know what we are to do as Christian parents? Set the goal for salvation. Right? Allow the atmosphere and everything else that you do, allow it to be conducive for salvation. That's the goal. It's for your child to be a servant of God. That's success. That doesn't mean that he or she may not have a Mercedes or two. God may throw that in too. Which is cool. Matter of fact, I don't know, they may become a doctor and give their daddy a Mercedes. I'm just saying. I mean, daddy be happy. But the goal of salvation, the goal is salvation. Amen? So we're operating on two types of wisdom here. There's a worldly wisdom and there's a wisdom that comes from above, right? As James state, right, in the third chapter, verses 13 through 18, and it'll behoove us to read through that. It says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth." This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You hear that? It's two different systems going on for Christian parents and then those who don't know Christ. Two different systems going on. So the goal of the Christian parent is salvation. Amen? And that's the goal. Now, is salvation your control? It's no. It's not your control, right? We said salvation is That's God. And then you get into predestination and call, elect, and all that. You get into that whole subject. But what you do is you set the environment for them. You set the example for them to follow Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's the goal. And if they don't follow Christ, guess what? It's not because of what you've done. Right? That ball is in their court then. Amen? And children, today we talked about your responsibility to obey your parents. And my mind goes back to Elder Williams when he used to say, if you don't obey mama and daddy, then all of a sudden you're going to end up dealing with the police. And the police, they ain't going to have that love that mama and daddy has for you. They are going to be authority figures. Back in the day, they had billy clubs, and now we see on the news that they have a quick trigger. Amen? And then if you don't obey the police, then all of a sudden things go to where you are. You end up in the court system, and then all of a sudden, if you're a juvenile, and because you live in Oakland County, you will see a familiar face. And that familiar face will be mine. And I want to talk to you all now about what this juvenile court system is all about. So for about 30 years, believe it or not, I've been involved with this system. And I've worked in various ranks and things of that nature throughout this system. And it is troubling to me what I see. When you think that it can't get lower, guess what? It gets lower. It gets lower. And to be honest with you, I would not want to see not one of your faces coming through the courthouse and I have to deal with you. I would hate for that to occur. And that's why I want to let you know what's going on today. Because here is the truth. By the time I have to sit down and talk to you, percentages say that it's too late. You are so sunk in your knuckleheadedness by time you get to talk to me. You have made your decision, and you are a sure enough knucklehead. So by time you come to me, guess what is over? Chances. Skip chances. We need to do something with you. We need to do something with you. And I mean, we need to do something quick to protect you from yourself and honestly to protect the community. That's what we do. So this is how it goes. You do something wrong at home or you do something wrong in the community. Then all of a sudden there's police contact or mama and daddy get to the point where they say, I can't control this child. So they can go to the courthouse and they can ask for a complaint / petition. And what they will write down is that this child is disorderly in the home. This child is not following basic rules. This child is rebellious. This child speaks to me wrong. This child leaves when he or she not supposed to. And they can write that whole list. This child steals from me. They can write this whole list down. And then all of a sudden it goes to the prosecutor's office. So either the police gives a complaint or the parent can start the ball. And then it goes to the prosecutor's office. prosecutors are a bunch of lawyers that work for the county. And they review the complaint and they say, oh yeah, Isaiah Woods a knucklehead. We're going to ask that the court take action. So then all of a sudden it goes then to an underjudge. We call them referees. Because there are so many cases that judges need someone else to review these cases for them. So it goes to the referee, and the referee says, oh yeah, he is a knucklehead. We authorize this petition. Once that petition is authorized, meaning it's set in motion, we want to deal with him, then all of a sudden a letter is generated to Marnie and Darren's house. And they say, they say, your court date is August such and such at such and such time. Be there. Then they come to court. And when they come to court, either it's a plea of guilty. Yes, I did all of this that the police stated I did. Or either, yes, I did everything that my mother and father said I did. Yes, I did it. I'm guilty. And if he says that he's guilty at that time, then all of a sudden it's assigned a caseworker. A caseworker is a very cute and fuzzy name for a probation officer. Then it's assigned a probation officer. In the past, I was a probation officer, and now God has blessed me to be a supervisor of probation officers. So every case that comes in, I have an opportunity to review it at my desk and see exactly what you've done. So then all of a sudden your case, if it's Isaiah, is given to a caseworker. I assign it to a caseworker. I assign it to a probation officer. And then that probation officer says, Woods, come on in. We have to meet with you. The reason why they have to meet with you is because it's the caseworker's job to turn the child from a number into a person. See, all Isaiah would be at that point is a charge and a number. So now what we have to do is this thing called a social history. So the judge is able to read it and see where he comes from. See what this child is all about. Now, a social history means that all of a sudden, just because a child has done something knuckleheaded, then their parents got to come to our office, take time off work, out of their schedule, come to the office and tell a complete stranger everything about them. We want to know your health. We want to know your mama and your daddy. We want to know everything about you because we're trying to get a complete picture before we make a judgment on your child. So we're trying to get a complete picture, and it's called a social history, and we're all in your business. All in your business. We have a whole list of questions where we get all in your business. So you're up here saying, I don't, you know, what's in my home will stay in my home. You're right. At this point, everything will be on the table because we need to know what's going on. So when we go into that office and when folks have come into my office when I was that probation officer, I've had children of police officers. I've had children of lawyers, teachers, professors, doctors, bus drivers, stay-at-home moms, pastors, Christians. I've had all of those folks' kids in my office. all of them in my office. No one is exempt. I've had them all in my office, sitting down because their kids decided to do something knuckleheaded. Dumb. Had no business doing. And the parents are broken because they tried to do the best that they can do. And they're broken because the knucklehead wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. They simply would not listen. And the parents were trying to do the best that they can do to not get them into this system. But they wouldn't listen. So it's my job to make sure I get your attention. Now, there are tools that we have in the bag. We got some tools that we have in the bag. We don't have many tools. That's the problem. We don't have many tools. So I set them down in my office, and I says, and the parents are wondering what's going to happen, and the kid is saying, okay, what's going to happen? And I'm saying, well, here's the range. Here are the tools that we have. The first thing that we have is we call consent. The next thing we have is what we call regular probation, and the next thing we have is what we call consent. So, I mean, it is called intensive. So the rules look, I hope they have it, but the rules look something like that. And look at them. If you were simply following your mama and your daddy's rules, you would not have to deal with us. Look at the first one. I will obey all of the laws of the United States and the state of Michigan and any municipality. Look at the next one. I will attend school every day and obey all of the rules and regulations. Look at the next one. I will live at the address and with the party designated in the consent calendar case plan and will notify the court of any change of address. See, and consent is this. Consent probation states this. The court is going to be involved, but it's going to be like involved at a distance. We're not going to be involved as much as we can. We're not going to be involved as much as we can. In other words, we're going to try to not get you into this system. Because, see, if you simply follow these rules, what will happen at the end of consent probation is that we get the contract and we tear it up. Consent means that it's a deal on the table. If you follow these things, we'll tear it up and you won't have a juvenile probation record. However, this does not mean that if you don't commit anything else, I'll put it that way, if you don't commit anything else before you hit the age of 17, then we tear this up. But until you hit that magic age of 17, 18, we're going to keep it right here just in case you jack up again. Because if you jack up again, we got the new thing and we come and get the old thing and we put it together and we put it on you. So we stack it. But if you do what you're supposed to do at 17, 18, we'll get this record and we'll tear it up. And then all of a sudden when you're applying to colleges and everything else and they ask the Sixth Circuit Court, do you have a record? We say no. However, here's the catch. If they ask the police, the police records are never torn up. Once you have police contact, it follows you. It follows you. Police don't tear up records. They keep them. So that's consent. Consent are for those that, like I said, they may have been at the wrong place at the wrong time or something on that line. First time being in court or or something on that line. You see what I'm saying? That's what consent is. However, if you're more of a knucklehead, what we have is what we call regular probation. Now, consent probation basically means that a probation officer, you will come to the probation officer. The probation officer will not come to you. You will come to that probation officer once a month. No, matter of fact, we only got to meet you 3 times. You'll be on probation for about 4 months. We have to meet with you 3 times in our office because we're not trying to make this thing too public. But for those who are more knuckleheads, then we have what we call standard probation. Standard probation is where you do have a record. You're going to have a juvenile record when this thing is all over. You're going to have to follow a list of rules that's very similar to consent probation. You'll follow these rules and everything else. And at the end, you will have a juvenile record. So when the colleges are looking, when you apply, and they say, did this kid have any court involvement? Ding, ding, ding. Yes, he did. And it will follow you. It will follow you. And trust me, colleges look at court involvement. They do. So if you have any interest in going to college, get involved with us, we follow you. Your record follows you. But then let's say you're a real knucklehead. See, because here, well, with consent, we only try to meet with you 3 times in that 4 months, at the beginning, in the middle, and then at the end of that probation, and we're trying not to be too public with it. Then all of a sudden in standard probation, we're at your house, we're at your school. You come down to the office and you meet with us and everybody know that you got a probation officer. And you got to meet with us and we keep an eye on you and you'll sometime come to our office and with standard probation, you got to meet with us every other week. But see, I was an intensive caseworker, and now the intensive supervisor. And intensive means intensive. So it's not consent, it's not regular probation, but consent. But intensive means that this is your last stop. This is the last thing that we have to keep you in the community. And it's intensive. That means that you got to meet with us 3 to 6 times a week. That means that we put you on a tether. That means that we lock you up in your own home starting off the first 30 days you're in your own home. The only place you can go is to school and back. That's it. That's it. So we're putting you on a tether. And we got tethers now that are very interesting because technology has it to where I can call up your tether and say, hey, where are you? And it's speaking, and you say, I'm at home. And if you don't answer, I can program that tether for alarm to go off, and wherever you at, it is an alarm that just goes off that nobody can't stand until you answer. Until you answer. That's your tether. And it is buzzing on your... It's buzzing on your leg, and it's got C right over it saying, hey, where are you? You're not where you're supposed to be. I'm tracking you right now, and you're at this address, and you're supposed to be here because I got this circle where you're supposed to be in, and you're out that circle. Where are you? By the way, next time I see you, we got to talk. And that's intensive. Intensive. Intensive means that you should be locked up, but we're going to try to give you this last chance to stay home. But you should be locked up. But all of a sudden, guess what? It doesn't even work. Because because most of my conversations go like this. Dude, where were you? You're supposed to be at home. Where were you? Where were you? Well, I thought I could go to my grandma. I ain't no going to no grandma. You're supposed to be at the house. Why did you break the rules, dude? I told you from the beginning, I love my job. And my job means that I have to be the biggest snitch you've ever seen. Because I'm telling. We're going back to court, and I'm telling that you broke the rules. Well, I thought I could play some ball. No, you thought wrong. You thought wrong. I see you in court. Ain't no love. Ain't no love. Either you do it or you don't. And that's what I tell the kids. By this time, chance is gone. Skip chance. Your chance was with your mama and your daddy. It ain't with me. Chance is gone. Either you're going to do it or you're not. And if you don't, it's cool. Because I'm going to put you in a place where you feel like you should have done it. Don't come my way. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell your kids not to come this way. Now, here's the thing. After intensive probation, that's it. We don't have any other community-based programs or probations for you. So then the next spot is out-of-home placement. Out-of-home placement means that we take you from your home and we place you in a residential setting for treatment. The goal of juvenile probation or juvenile services is for treatment. It's not if you do the crime, you're going to do the time. That's adult court. Juvenile court says, what treatment can we give this child so that they won't do it again? So all of a sudden, we place you in places like Children's Village. We place you in a place like Crossroads for Youth. If you go up further north, we'll place you at Wolverine. And we'll place you there. So here's how it goes. At Children's Village, you go there. And when you get into Children's Village, the first thing we do is we strip you down. And you take a shower. And then after that, there's a bucket of drawers. So you go over there and you get some community drawers. And you find the best pair that can fit you. And you put those community drawers on. And then we got this nice orange, yellow, or green suit for you. You find the one that fits you the best, and you put that on. And then you go into what we call a day room. And this day room is where all your fellow knuckleheads will greet you every day. They want to fight you. They want to prove that they are tougher than you. You in their minds, you are a chump. And the first one that you greet, it will not be a handshake. It'll be, what, you know. And that's what we see every day. What you want to do? You know? And I'm up here sitting down saying, sit down. That's your environment. So you don't have your own drawers. You don't have your own clothes. And at night, we say line up. And you line up. And you go down this hallway. And there are some very, very thick, thick steel doors. And behind those steel doors is your room. Your room has it's all concrete, by the way. And then it has a concrete slab with a mattress on it that's a thin mattress. And you put that thin mattress on that concrete, and you have some covers. We give you a couple of covers. couple of covers that are really thick that you cannot tear. We don't want you hurting yourself. So we give you those, and you go. So your little bedroom with your, you know, with your clothes in it, you ain't got that. And when that steel door closed, boom, all I hear is this. The toughest of them. And I go down the hallway saying, you should have listened. You should have listened. Because I know mama and daddy goal was, hey, I know it wasn't, hey, go to Children's Village. I know that wasn't mama and daddy's goal. Mom and daddy was trying to tell you things not to come here. So ain't no love here. You mind being quiet before when it's time for you to come out this room? You're not. So you might want to be quiet if you want to get out of here at 8. And then if you want to call yourself being a knucklehead out in the community of knuckleheads, well, what we do is we remove you and we remove everything in that room. And, of course, you don't go into that room dressed. No. No, you'll hurt yourself with that uniform. So we put you in that steel room with minimal clothing. So that means no socks, no T-shirt, you know. It depends on how the risk of hurt is. If you're acting like you want to hurt yourself, then no, we're not going to put you in there with that. We're going to put you in something that you can't hurt yourself in, or we'll just let you have your underwear for decency. And you stay in there until you want to act right. So, here's the amazing thing to me. At Children's Village, there's about 20 people that's telling you what to do. On a daily basis, they tell you to line up, so you got to go eat. And when you eat, it's not mama's cooking. It's not mama's cooking, by the way. So you go there, and you eat, and you got a certain time to eat, then you get up, then you got to wash dishes, and you got to mop the floors. You got to wash walls, wash whatever they tell you to do, and then all of a sudden you go back, and then they tell you got a certain amount of time to brush your teeth and everything, and then you're going to go to school, and then all of a sudden when it's time for you to chill and watch TV, it's only a half hour TV, that's it, and then it's time to go to bed. Every time you want to use the bathroom, you got to do this. Mr. Seawright, can I go use the bathroom? So you got even asked to use the bathroom. So you at home you got it, and you want to come my way. You don't want to come this way. And here's the thing. You're at Children's Village, and you're waiting for this treatment program. Now, when we put you in a treatment program, it is 9 to 12 months. That's minimum. So you're away from home average over a year. You're not going home, meaning that you'll visit home at some point, but you're not going home. It'll be for about 9 to 12 months if you're on good behavior, if you're doing right. But to be honest with you, the average stay is about a year, year and a half. Because knuckleheads are knuckleheads no matter where they are. And they got to get it out of their system or something. So it's like a year, year and a half, and then you'll find your way going home. Now, here's the amazing thing. Folks like C. Wright and everybody else, they don't do it for free. So here's the cost. When your child is on consent probation, it's all the court costs and then $50 a month. Then, when your child is on standard probation, it's all of the court costs and $70 a month. when your child is on intensive probation, it's all of the court costs and then $100 a month. When we have to place your child out of the home and put them in Children's Village or something like that, the average cost is $170 a night. $170 a night. I have seen this financially ruin some folks. All the college fund that you have saved for your kids, we get it. We get it. You go to the courthouse and you meet with our reimbursement division and they go over all of your financial stuff in business. It's exposed. They know how much you get. They draw it from here, all the subsidies and everything else that you have. They get it and they say, okay, let's see what type of payment plan we can set you up on. I have seen parents leave with a bill of $70,000, $75,000, $80,000. When it's all over, $80,000. Which makes me pause right now. Now you see, as a church, why I say I'd rather spend on kids on this end than to spend on kids on that end. I'd rather be broke on this end trying to make sure that they don't get here where it's breaking folks anyway. I'd rather go broke trying to figure out a way to stop them from getting here. That's why we need you to give. We need you to be in this thing together, because when one family is going through that, we're all going through that. So we don't want any of us to go through that. We want to rally together. That's why this sense of community thing that I'm trying to push, because we're all in this together. And I'm going to wrap this up because of time, and I'll just say this. The deep thing is this, is the charges that are coming through on my desk. I've gone through training and everything else to just try to deal, and I don't understand. This is me now. I'm going to just put my personal spin on it. I don't understand why parents don't govern these mobile phones better. I don't get it. I don't get it. That is a computer in the child's hand. And the majority of the kids that are coming through now is coming my way because of sexting. What that means is that somebody is sending somebody else an inappropriate picture. They're sending somebody an inappropriate picture. And all of a sudden, you got this picture of somebody partially nude or something like that. Some young lady has gotten, some boy has gotten in their head and just say, send me a picture. And they think for a moment that's a good idea somehow. And then all of a sudden, poof, they send a picture this young man's way. And of course, most of these jokers, they're like, man, let me show you what she sent me. And then all of a sudden they forward that to their partner and like, ooh. And then all of a sudden, here's the thing. All of a sudden it gets into the wrong hand where somebody sees it, and then all of a sudden a school official hears about it and they ask, let me see the photograph. Then all of a sudden you have a charge. You've got a charge. And guess what charge you have? A CSC, criminal sexual conduct charge. You have a CSC, a criminal sexual conduct charge. Do you know what that means? That means even if you go to college, more than likely, you cannot be a teacher. You cannot be a social worker. You cannot be a policeman. You cannot be a fireman. I mean, what you going to go to college for? And here's the amazing thing. All of a sudden, one knucklehead sends it to somebody else. By the way, there's no such thing as these things getting off the internet. There's no such thing. Once they're there and you send it, it's there. And you can ask all the computer experts and everything else. You are out there. What you done sent is out there for good. It's out there for good. Ain't no erasing it. It's out there. It is out there. But here's the amazing thing to me. So all of a sudden, one knucklehead sends a dude that's not a knucklehead. He's not a knucklehead. Man, he sends that picture that person's way. Well, all of a sudden, because timing is so wrong, the knucklehead got busted and said, yeah, I sent it to this person too. And this kid, good kid, cool, never in trouble or anything else, but all of a sudden, he's got something on his phone that shouldn't be on his phone, and the teachers and the police at the school, they see it on his phone at the wrong time. Charge. You're in possession of child pornography. And it's a charge. And I'm seeing this on a regular. And every time I see it, and every time I read a charge of, like on that line, all of a sudden the kids at the church, they come to mind. And I'm saying, Lord, protect them. Lord, protect them. Let them not get involved in this stuff, because they can be at the wrong place at the wrong time and everything else. And here's an amazing thing. All of a sudden, you are befriended by someone that has issues. We all have issues. But here comes somebody your way with some issues. And they come your way, and somehow you get bonded with this person that has issues. Their parents' standards are not your parents' standards. And you bond yourself to them. And then all of a sudden you get into this Romeo-Juliet type thing with them. No one will separate us ever. And you get into this situation, and all of a sudden you're not listening to your parents, because your parents, who have sacrificed for you and everything else, they have your best interest at heart. But then all of a sudden, here's somebody you've known only for a few months, and all of a sudden, I'll live and die for you, and all this other stuff that is going, all this other talk. And the truth be told is, if you're at Children's Village, the only one that is visiting you will be your parents. It won't be this person that said they would live and die for you. Matter of fact, the majority of the time, the person that said they would live and die for you, they are over here calling your buddy saying, I will live and die for you now. And they leave you hanging. And you're not listening to your parents, who's got your best interest at heart. They have your best interest at heart. They see all the warning signs and everything else, and all you can say is, but I love him. But I love her. Look at all what's at stake. Your college funds, the money that you're going to cost the parent, everything else is all at stake here. Your college career, all of this stuff is at stake. Because of puppy love, or because of you think you love somebody? No, love don't cost you your future. That doesn't equal, no, that don't equal love. Love don't cost futures. No. So it's time for you to rethink it. And like I said, you get involved with folks that have, honestly, they have mental issues or they have some issues that they need to deal with. And you don't have the wherewithal to deal with them. They need professionals to deal with them. What it really shows is that they never should have been in a relationship at that time. They needed to get some things together first before you called yourself being in a relationship with them. So you're going to go to school. You're going to enter high school. And at high school is raw. High school is not what I, when I left, high school was a little different than it is now. Because high school has it where we're getting charges out of high school where it's vaping and folks are selling vapes, they're selling weed, they're selling everything that you want to sell. They're having intercourse in like private rooms or closed hallways. They're having intercourse in the parking lot. They are sending inappropriate pictures on a daily to each other and everything else. And then all of a sudden, when you get involved with the wrong crew, you get involved with the wrong crew, and then all of a sudden, it's downhill after that. Now, I'm trying to tell you all, don't get involved. But let me tell you this. I'm going to take off the elder hat, and I'm going to put on this probation officer hat for a minute. Now that I have told y'all, and if y'all come my way, the first thing I'm going to tell the probation officer that I assign your case to is that they knew better. They knew better. They don't need a chance. You 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 don't need a chance. You. You don't need a chance. None of you need chances. You know better. So if I see your name on my desk, you don't need a chance. So the point is if you're going to follow mama or daddy, or are you going to follow one of us? You got a choice. You got a choice. So don't go calling for mama and daddy when I got a room for you. But here's the thing. A lot of you don't listen. And this, even this, may not work. For some of y'all, even this may not work. And I'm only saying this because I'm hoping and praying that it works. I'm hoping and praying that it works. I hope I never see either of you at the courthouse. I hope I don't. So this was not to scare you. This was just to inform you. And like I said, by the time I have to have this conversation with you, I can look at your faces and I can pretty much tell who I'll be seeing. I can see who I'll be seeing. I can see who I've gotten to, and I can see it might be a little too late for some, and they don't get it. They have already made their decision to be a knucklehead that they want to be. But the only thing that I can tell you for those who decided to be and they're going to go wrong and do what they want to do, the only thing I can tell you is this, is that it's not cool on the other side. Because once you get involved with us, ain't no love. It ain't no love. You're going to do what we tell you to do. And if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to send you to another place. If you don't do what we tell you to do there, then we'll send you to another place. And the last stop on the list is called Michigan Ward. You'll be a ward of the state of Michigan. We can keep you until you're 19. The state of Michigan can keep you till you're 21. We will place you locally because we do at least have this much of a heart. So we're going to try to keep you locally so that your parents can see you. It won't be too hard for them to see you. But the state of Michigan, they become your parent. When you're at the state of Michigan level, they temporarily become your parent so they can send you to Escanaba. That's up in UP. They can send you to where they have places in Chicago. They have a boot camp in Chicago that they like to send you to. They have one in Denver they can send you to, where it's like a SIL, a semi-independent living type program that they can send you to. And they can send you there, and you won't see home until you're grown. That's what they can do. But it's all at a price, because you made a decision. It's a price to your parents. So parents, you are on probation too. If your kids come down this route, you're on probation as well. You'll feel like you have to report to us 24/7. We're all in your business. We're calling, telling you what you can do and what you need to do for your child. It is not comfortable, and it's not cool. I would hate for somebody here to be involved with what I do. So for those who are entering high school now, I ask you, I beg you to be careful, to stay away from that nonsense. Don't use your phones the wrong way. Don't be around the wrong people, because folks have got caught up at the wrong time. Don't go around. You know that somebody is all about dope and getting high, and then all of a sudden you got your license now, and they just tell you, hey, give me a ride over here. And then all of a sudden you give them a ride, but all of a sudden you forget to turn your blinker on, and boom, the police pull you over at that time. He got dope, and so he don't want to get caught, so he throw it down in the car. The police don't know if it's yours or his. They're not going to believe you. They're not going to believe him. Both of y'all get the charge. Both of you get the charge. And that's what high school is going to have for y'all. Please don't see me. And to make this thing, tie this thing together, in order to stay out of it, you need to not only obey your parents, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. So if you haven't made a decision to be serious about Christ, what a wonderful time to do that now before high school starts. Because you're going to need Jesus in that environment. You're going to need him. Now, I know I took some extra time today. I know I did. But I had to get this off my heart, because I don't want to see any of you. I don't want to see any of you. And I'm praying for you. But as I stated to earlier, see, that's why, you know, all of these movie things that we're trying to do, and this camp thing that, what's the camp name again? Elevate. We throw money or put money there. Because my thing is that I'd rather go broke on this side. I'd rather go broke on this side than to have somebody on the other side being financially ruined. And I will continue that pattern as well. I'd rather invest in you all now to prevent this. But to prevent this altogether, this court stuff altogether, you need to make a decision about Christ. Because if you do and you live as he tells you, you won't see. The chances are you will not see that. I mean, it would be a miracle if you see that. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. If you have made a decision to go down that road, stop right now, turn around, make a decision, come to Christ. If there's one, I ask you on today to please come up. We have those who are available here that can walk you through it. Because it's repentance, and it's also faith to believe that he can change you. Let us stand.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.